Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our morning devotionals. We are continuing in our Lenten series, and today we'll be reading through 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 18. And I'll read that for us. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. So our passage today starts off with us witnessing Solomon finishing the house of the Lord, as well as the king's house. And actually, the completion of these buildings is something that took years and years to fulfill. The idea that eventually led to Solomon's successful work started all the way back during the reign of his father, David. Now, up until David's reign, Israel had counted on encountering God's presence at the tabernacle. And this was all well and good, until one day David wondered why the tabernacle, something so sacred and holy, was kept in a tent. And since then, David passed down to Solomon the desires of God for how his house, aka the temple, should be. And we can read extensively about the specifications and the considerations made for every detail of God's holy house, although we won't get too much into that this morning. All that to say, this was the culmination of the work of David and Solomon to give God the glory he deserved. And this is an endeavor that pleased the Lord. So much so that God promised David, as well as Solomon later on, that this house of sacrifice and prayer would protect the land of Israel. Of course, it wasn't the building itself that had any power, but it allowed Israel to offer a prayer and sacrifice to the Lord and to call upon him to be their God. And so when Solomon completes the temple at long last, and God reaffirms this promise to Israel and its king, there's a certainty and a comfort there. From the beginning, God makes sure that his people know that he is for them, and that he will be there for them, and that their prayers will be accepted. The completion of the temple marked the fullness of the promise from God. And for a moment, it seemed like everything was as it should be. God's presence dwelled in this beautiful and glorious temple. His promise was over Israel, and Solomon was leading the nation with zeal and piety. But we know that it isn't long before things go south. In his promise to David and to Solomon, God placed a big asterisk on his assurance of protection and grace. He said, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Basically, God said that he will be the God of Israel if Israel looks to him as their God. If they glorify him and fear him and follow his commandments, then they will want for nothing. Of course, Israel gets this all wrong. Not just during Solomon's reign, which itself does not end well, but we see throughout the rest of the Old Testament that Israel goes down this downward spiral further and further away from fulfilling God's offer to them. This very temple gets plundered and destroyed, and soon enough, God's glory is no longer with Israel. The sins of Israel enlighten us toward a very sobering reality, that even if God's very presence was in our midst, and we had a beautiful reminder that he was with us, we would still turn away. We could have the most ornate, awe-inspiring, captivating things pointing us toward a God who is even more so, and we would still find other things more beautiful. But the good news is that Jesus redeems this promise. Jesus holds up our end of the bargain. Even though we didn't humble ourselves, we didn't pray, we didn't turn from our wicked ways, Jesus forgave our sins and healed us. He became the temple for us, that the presence of God is now no longer in a building made by man, a building that would fade and crumble and be plundered and defaced. Because although Jesus himself was broken and destroyed, he rose again to establish an everlasting temple, one that is far more beautiful, one that will never fade. As we look ahead to Easter, as we prepare our hearts during the Lenten season, it's all to remember the salvation bought for us through Jesus Christ. Through him, we are forever within the promise that God gave to David and to Solomon. Even though we didn't follow after his commandments, God was so faithful to us through Jesus, and we could worship him and be protected by him. Now this morning, I invite you to spend some time to meditate upon this reality, to meditate on the fact that we don't need this elaborate, ornate temple to worship our God anymore. Through the work of Jesus, we have complete access to the Father. So let's take advantage of that today. Let's go to him in prayer, and let's thank him for this gift of grace. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, even though we're not deserving, you bless us through Jesus. Lord, it is through Jesus that we have an inheritance to this promise, that we don't have to strive anymore, that our salvation does not hinge on what we can or can't do, but instead, it's on what Jesus already did. Lord, we just proclaim that you are so precious to us, so much more precious than any building or temple can be. Lord, would you help us to live in honor of this promise, to live in remembrance of the fact that even though we weren't faithful, that Jesus intervened and allowed us to enjoy the fruit of this promise. Lord, continue to transform us through that truth, through your act of love and kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.